Well, sometimes in my life, I start to think upon a song or a hymn. And it's easy when thinking of this hymn, because this hymn was the hymn of Wheaton College, where I went to school. And so we were singing that, or this hymn, many times. And I'm sure when people came to visit the school, they always asked the administration during chapel, can you have the kids sing, May the Mind of Christ My Savior? And so we would sing that hymn again and again and again, and it's sort of easy to memorize when you sing it again and again and again, so it sort of stuck in my head. And I went back and I said, you know, I need to recall that hymn again. But I think the Lord really brought that in my mind just to think about the importance of Christ in our life every day. The importance of Christ in our life every day. And I think we know this in our own hearts. And this hymn actually was written by Kate Wilkinson. And I think it was first appearing in 1925. Kate Wilkinson was strongly influenced by the Keswick movement. And the Keswick movement is a little bit of an overemphasis, because it was sort of saying, what is wrong with the church today? And what is wrong with the church today is that people have not submitted to God. And probably what I would say is wrong with the church today is people don't know the gospel message and don't know salvation. But the idea was, they had these conferences, and Keswick Conference is named after a place in England. And there were large meetings of people, and one of the key expressions that we sing in Trust Obey, in Obey, is to lay your all upon the altar. You haven't really submitted yourself completely to God. It's sort of the let go and let God. And Jerry Bridges took issue with that, I know, in a very strong way, because he said, there's an element of truth to that. At the same time, the Christian life is a disciplined life. We are to discipline ourselves for holiness. It's not just let go and let God do whatever He is going to do. Because this God who saves us and does the work of our salvation and accomplishes the whole of our salvation also sets us to live for Him and to live with Him. And I think that Kate had the right idea. She really, one of the reasons and one of the things I think about when I think about this hymn is I think about associating it with Scripture. And I'm not going to go through and do that with each one of these verses, but I'm going to read this hymn, and I want you to think of the meaning of this hymn. Think about what it's talking about, because in essence, this is a prayer. And it's a prayer for God to be what He already is. He's already dwelling in us, and He's always with us. And the Christian life is not to be lived for God, it's to be lived for God, with God, in Christ. And that's a wonderful truth, and it's clearly emphasized in Colossians chapter 3, where much of this hymn is taken from. But it begins like this: May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day, by His love and power controlling all I do and say. May the Word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through His power. May the peace of God my Father rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to comfort sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. Him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win. And may they forget the channel, seeing only him. And when you look at this, this is his beauty, it's a request, it's a prayer request. It's coming before God and saying, I'm going to live for you today, but I need your presence in me. This morning I said, sometimes we look at our lives and we say, well, you know, I need more patience, or I need more love, or I need more goodness or kindness. You can think of a number of things we need in our lives, and it's easy to look at our lives and see the needs. And so we say, dear God, give me more patience. Give me more goodness. Give me more kindness. And I think the prayer that we actually should pray is, give more of Christ to me. More of his presence in my life. Because that's the essence, that's really sort of the driving sense of this prayer. And I look at this and I think to myself, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The key to Gentile salvation is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2:20 said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ lives in me. And the Apostle Paul expected his life to be dominated by the presence of Christ in his life. And I think that's the right heart attitude to have with reference to the way in which we live the Christian life. So let me say a couple of things about Christ in us. And the first thing I think it's important to note about Christ in us is to be aware of your standing before God. Be aware of your standing before God. And turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We've been looking at Ephesians 2, but I want to go back and look at this statement. Ephesians chapter 2 is where our experience is being explained in light of what God has done for us. And in this it says, and you were dead. And you were dead, but you were the walking dead. Because you're spiritually dead, but you're physically alive, but spiritually dead, dead to God, alienated from him, but walking, but not walking according to anything other than, well, this world, and the way in which the world conforms us to think like the world, act like the world, look like the world, and behave. We get it all from the world. The world says, follow us. And then the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself, is the one who is tempting and leading us not to follow the word of God, but to follow other things, any other thing. And then our flesh. So we have the world and Satan and the flesh being the guide of this walk, the walking dead. And the answer to that is in verse 4. And notice this answer. I want you to see something. But God, it doesn't say but man, but you. It says but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, the mercy of God, because of his great love, the love of God with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, these words are really interesting. When we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Our union with Christ did not begin at the birth of Christ. Our union with Christ began with the death of Christ, with the cross of Christ. Here we are joined to him. There's this union that takes place with Jesus Christ. And it says, we died when he died. And when he was made alive, we are made alive. And when he ascended into glory, when he was raised up, we were raised up, the resurrection and the ascent into heaven. And when he sat down, he made us sit down together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, raised up together with him, seated together. That's our position with Christ. We died with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him. We ascended with him. We are seated with him in glory. That is wonderful truth, and that is so important to understand how you walk. You first need to know how you are seated. And then you know how to walk, and then you know how to stand, all in the Ephesian epistle. But understanding that seating is so important because it emphasizes the union that we have with Jesus Christ in all that he has accomplished for us. But that union with Jesus Christ that continues today, that causes the Apostle Paul to say, Christ lives in me. Christ is the defining influence. And I've said to you before, and I like to say this, I said, I'm really in two places. I'm here now. I'm also seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Why? Because of my union in Jesus Christ. And that union not only means where I'm going to be eventually, but also the connection that we have with God even now. Christ wants to be the leading and dominating influence in our hearts and lives every day. This is his design. And so this seating is so important for us to understand. The Christian life is not gaining something in the Christian life. It's not gaining something that Christ has not already accomplished for us. The Christian life is walking in the victory of Jesus Christ. And he wants us to see that victory. He wants us to see it day by day. I know he wants us to see that. Otherwise, he'd take us to glory immediately when we're first saved. But he wants us to walk in this victory. And he wants us to see the power of Christ in us. That's why when I think of may the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day by his love and power controlling all I do and say. And may the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour so that all may see I triumph only through his power. Those are wonderful prayer requests that we should have for our own hearts every day. That Christ should be seen in me. You know, in Sunday school, we sing with the kids. You guys know this. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And we say, this little light of mine, hide it under a bushel, no. Don't let Satan blow it out. Shine all over the neighborhood. Sometimes if the kids have a birthday, I say, shine at my birthday party. Let it shine till Jesus comes. What is the shining light? The shining light is Christ shining through us. Christ shining in us, Christ shining through us. The whole point of being here is that the light of Christ be the formative influence in our hearts and lives. Again, look at John chapter 14. Here Jesus is talking to his disciples in the upper room discourse. And he's telling them that he's leaving. And in John 14, if you look at in verse 19 and following down to verse 24, let me just read this. A little while longer, Jesus said, if you have a red edition to your Bible, these words are in red. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. If I'm a disciple, I am one confused person here. Because Jesus begins this by saying, I'm leaving. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now he's saying, I'm staying. So I say, are you leaving or are you staying? I'm like, what is it? And it's both, both and. Yes, he's going to die upon the cross. Yes, he's going to ascend into heaven. Yes, he's going to be seated in heavenly places, we with him. But at the same time, he says, I am going to be with you. In fact, he says to the disciples, you are now going to be my apostles. You are going to be sent. But don't go without the Holy Spirit. Don't go without this indwelling presence of the Spirit of God in you. Because you're not able, you're not equipped, you're not functional to go forth with the gospel message until you have the presence of God in you. And that presence of God is in us. Let me look at one other passage. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Let's go back to this passage where much of may the mind of Christ our Savior is found. And you look and you but in the first four verses of this chapter, it speaks of this wondrous union in Jesus Christ. It says, since then you were raised with Christ, seek, keep seeking. It says, keep on doing this. Keep on seeking those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Let me ask you a question. Twice in this passage it says, set your mind on things above. What are the things above? What are these things above? You've never, well, you are there, but you're not there. You're cognitive there. You can't look around and say, well, what are the things above here that I am to seek? Seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above. What is it that we have in this things above? And the answer to that is in the next verse, which says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What we have in heaven that is above, that we are to set our mind upon, is Christ himself. That's what we know. We don't know all the spiritual blessings and heavenly places that God has in store for us. That can be infinite amount of things. But we do know Christ. If you are raised with Christ, since you are raised with him, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds. The same command that is keep on doing it. Keep on setting your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For when Christ died, you died. And your life is hidden and continues to be hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ to our life appears, and he will actually appear, then you will appear with him in glory. So that, again, is this whole mindset that we are to have of Christ. And then he goes on to say, and then sort of this direction of how we are to live our lives. And you have then in the rest of this, and in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In verse 15, and the peace of God rule your hearts. Verse 14, above all these things, put on love. So there are commands, there are things that we pursue with reference to the things of Christ. But these are things that belong to him. I think it changes the perspective on the Christian life when you see your position in Christ and see that that position in Christ involves his presence with you, living daily for him. And I think the awareness of that living with him is so important. Because in Galatians 2:20, he goes on to say, Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in him. I live depending upon him, the Son of God. I live looking to the things above, the things of Christ, that he has all secured for me. I mean, these are wonderful truths. And it seems that it's wonderful to think of beginning each day by bowing our heads and saying, dear Heavenly Father, I am indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Your abiding presence and the abiding presence of Christ is in me. May the mind of Christ, my Savior, be seen in me today by his love and power controlling. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. May the word of Christ, may the peace, Father, of you, may the love of Christ, may I run the race, may the beauty of Christ rest upon me, but in such a way that Christ is seen, not me. I mean, we need more of Christ. That's a wonderful thing to say. We have the fullness of Christ. And, you know, you look at what Let me give you one more thing in Ephesians, but go back in Ephesians and look at just this expression in verse chapter 1 and verse 23. This is a prayer. It says, And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. It's a prayer that we will know him, the fullness of him. Look at chapter 4 and verse 13. Until we come, we're to be the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, all that God has given to us. Till we come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I don't think he's just talking here about the future of the finished work when we are glorified, when we're in perfect union with God and perfect union with one another. That's a glorious day. But I think to know the fullness of Christ is to know the fullness of Christ in this Christian life. We should look at this life and see our insufficiency and see the need and sufficiency of Jesus Christ alone. I think that's a wonderful emphasis. Our salvation is in Christ. Our life is in Christ. Our hope is in Christ. Our focus is in Christ. And Jesus Christ says in the Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance of me. Do not forget me. Well, it's not like we look and say, well, Jesus Christ just died on the cross to save us and the rest of the Christian life, that's what we're doing. The fullness of Christ is to be seen in us. And when you hear that comment, and when I hear that, I say, well, we've a long way to go. The fullness of Christ to be seen in me, there's a long way to go on that. But that's really what God has in store for us. He wants for the mind of Christ to be seen in us every day. And for his controlling influence in our lives every day. And we should be praying for what we already have. Dear Heavenly Father, give Christ to me. Give the fullness of Christ to me. I think the Lord loves that prayer. And that's what the Christian life is walking in Christ, by Christ, for Christ, walking with him. And that gives us great hope that we will not only walk with him, but that we will walk with him. Every part of the Christian life is really lived until he brings us into his glorious presence. The outcome is not in doubt. The outcome is secure. We're already seated in the heavenly places in him. That's a spiritual seating. That's where we are. And we walk with him, and we should talk with him, and he should be seen in us. And we're walking really to be more and more like Jesus Christ until we're actually the fullness of Christ is seen in all of us. That's what the Christian life is all about. God help us. God help us. But that's really what living for Christ is. So as we partake of these elements, be reminded that Christ is not just a future hope and not just a past salvation, but he's the present life that we live. He's present with us every day to shine the light of his truth in our hearts and lives. Well, let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation is so complete. Complete at the cross, finished at the cross. Complete in the spiritual life, because you will indeed conform us to the image of Christ. Christ will indeed guide our lives day by day. and are seated in heaven. The outcome of all of this is sure and certain in Christ, in Christ. So we're so thankful, Lord, and we pray that you will cause us as your people to be more dependent upon him. As we remember him and remember the cross and remember our salvation and remember the deliverance that you have given to us and the freedom of life, the freedom of eternal life, the freedom of eternity, but also the freedom of full fellowship with you in Christ Jesus. Help us to walk in the light of your truth. Help us to walk in light of who we are. And may we fellowship with Christ every day. So may your blessings be upon us. And we pray for this bread as we partake of it, which is the reminder that Jesus was broken for us at the cross in order that he might secure our forgiveness, secure our salvation, and bring us to glory. We have a great hope in him. Bless this bread as we partake of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.